Joining us in the studio is Dr. Anton Marburg. And we're here to talk, he's here to talk about sleep apnea. Anton, good morning. How are
morning,
you?
Howard. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. We're hearing this all the time now. More and more, it's become something that we're hearing about. Sleep apnea, has it always been prevalent? Actually, let's start from the beginning. What is it?
So sleep apnea is a condition that occurs when you sleep, when you actually stop breathing. It's a very common condition. It happens, it was to be found more in men than in women. It's more common in obese or overweight people. And it's more common as well in women who are postmenopausal. It's also found in children, especially mm-hmm. children who've got large tonsils and adenoids.
Right.
But it is a very common condition. And it's only sort of become more common over the last 15 to 20 years.
More common or more commonly diagnosed?
More commonly diagnosed.
Right.
And therefore more common.
Right. Okay. And are there different types of
sleep
apnea?
So there are different types. There are two main types. The main type that everyone knows about is something called obstructive sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
This is a condition basically when you stop breathing, when you actually don't get any air into your lungs or into your respiratory system because you're basically getting a blockage of your airway. Because at the back of your throat, you've got an area called your pharynx, and there's lots of muscle and tissue there. And when the tone in that area is decreased, the airway is blocked. The other type is something called a central sleep apnea. That's far less common and is more neurologically based. And basically what happens with that is the brain sends signals to your respiratory system telling it not to breathe. And that occurs in conditions like strokes and other conditions, but it's far less prevalent.
Okay, so those are the different – and how dangerous is this?
Very dangerous. It's far too undiagnosed at the moment. People don't know much about it, and people aren't asking the doctors, and doctors aren't testing their patients. It can cause heart failure. It can cause an arrhythmia, which is an abnormal rhythm of your heart. It can cause sudden death syndromes. It can cause people to have car accidents. It can cause diabetes. It can cause strokes. The sequelae or the complications because of it are far outreached.
Why does it cause that?
So basically it causes an adrenaline surge when you're sleeping. When your oxygen levels drop whilst you're sleeping, you're basically getting no oxygen to the vital systems in your body. Then that causes an adrenaline surge in your body and sets up a whole cascade of hormones in your body, which exacerbates all the other hormones.
Ah, okay. And if you're having these during the night, you might not even know that you're experiencing them.
So
but you're actually a bit of a
time don't know that they're experiencing. The only people who do know is their partners. And the way they know is, first of all, every woman complains that their husband is snoring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't go hand in hand.
Right, I was going to say, does that mean he has sleep apnea?
Not everyone that snores has sleep apnea.
Right.
But 99% of people with sleep apnea do snore.
Okay,
so
got that.
So you're snoring in the middle of the night. Your body wakes you up because of this event. But you don't realize that you've been woken because you're in a deep sleep. So there's different phases of sleep in the different stage 1 to 4 with this rapid arm movement sleep. And your body actually wakes you up without you realizing it. So if you say to somebody, do you have sleep apnea? They'll say, well, I don't know. I don't wake up.
You really can't
actually do wake up.
Right. And so this keeps happening during the night, and that obviously potentially causes all of these complications. So
this happens throughout the night, and the point is, everyone has what we call an apneic event in the night. An apneic event is when you basically stop breathing. Your airway is basically closed off. You don't get any air to your respiratory system or to the brain or to the vital functions. And it can happen for up to about 5 seconds, which is normal.
I was just
going to
say, what
people.
Is normal? How many events and how long is normal?
So we start
normal?
Getting worried after about 5 events per hour.
Okay.
15 events per hour is considered moderate sleep apnea, and more than 30 events per hour is considered severe sleep apnea.
Okay.
Now, if you have an event lasting more than 10 seconds, that's when we start taking notice. Okay. If it's more than 20 seconds, it starts becoming obviously more moderate. Mm-hmm. And then I've got patients who have events of 120 seconds. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to hold your breath.
I was going to say, you can't hold your breath. I can't hold my breath.
99% of people can't hold their breath for that amount of time. But that's the point, is that it's doing such harm and such damage to your body by holding your breath for that amount of time that it can cause these other problems like the heart failure, the diabetes, the strokes, and the arrhythmias.
How different is this from sleep paralysis? Because I suffer from sleep paralysis, and I'll randomly wake up, and I can't breathe.
So it is very different. That you are probably having apneic events, okay? But as I say, they're probably not sustained. They're not long enough to cause any problems.
It's like Zanatti's. You're treating this like Black Friday. You're trying to get free medical advice at highly discounted rates.
I don't have medical. It's not medical. Just get all my...
and she's had this mole here on the side.
So that's an apneic event.
Yes, it is an apneic event. There's also something called restless leg syndrome, which a lot of people suffer from, and that is coupled with sleep apnea.
Sure.
Scary.
Can it happen when you're not sleeping?
So it can happen. A lot of people can be driving and have an apneic event without realizing. So it's very dangerous. You actually fall asleep whilst you're driving. And a lot of people complain that they actually have decreased concentration. They forget a lot of things. They're very tired. They don't wake up feeling like they've had a good night's sleep. They get a very fragmented sleep and they don't know why. So you can sleep, go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, wake up at 6 o'clock next morning and feel exhausted. And that's because you're getting a fragmented sleep.
And it, I would assume it prevents you from getting, going into a deeper sleep.
So it's basically like taking a computer. Okay? When you put your computer to rest or you put it on standby, the computer recharges itself. The problem is when you've got sleep apnea, your body doesn't allow itself to recharge because it's causing this cascade of these hormones to reactivate and causing adrenaline flush and cause everything to go wrong in your body, so you can't actually recharge.
Time is 7:18. We're chatting to Michiel. Says basically teacher syndrome. No, Michiel, this is something a little bit different. We are chatting to Dr. Anton Marburg. He's a physician and pulmonologist. We're talking about sleep apnea. I'd love your questions. 34519, that is the SMS line, or you can telegram us on 0618951019. A couple of questions around sleep apnea. I'm chatting to Dr. Anton Marburg. He is a pulmonologist physician. He is in private practice, and we're talking about sleep apnea, a very, very potentially serious story that is quite undiagnosed
Untreated.
All right. So Brian G says, can you please discuss drug-induced sleep apnea? Before you even answer that, for anyone who's just tuned in, what is sleep apnea?
So sleep apnea is a condition where you stop breathing whilst you're sleeping.
Right.
And we're basically focusing now on something called obstructive sleep apnea, where your airways basically close down and stop air going into your lungs, into your respiratory system, and affect your whole mechanism of hormone cascades, etc.
Right, and we take it seriously from more than five episodes.
More than five episodes per hour of more duration than, of more than 10 seconds per
right.
episode.
Okay, but you're saying you've seen people with up to 120 seconds.
120 seconds. And one of the major causes of sleep apnea is obesity.
Right.
And it's a big, big problem. And you can treat sleep apnea by weight loss per se.
All right.
But it does take time.
Yeah, well, I would imagine. Yes, look, at least I'm not at risk for that. But Brian says, please discuss drug-induced sleep apnea.
So drug-induced sleep apnea works in a different mechanism. The major drugs that can cause this type of sleep apnea are opioids, which are very high Schedule 7 drugs that can basically cause central sleep apnea, which goes back to that other type of sleep apnea where it affects the neurons in the brain and the firing from the brain to the respiratory system that you don't breathe properly.
Isn't that one more dangerous?
That is more dangerous. But the other major drug that can do things like that is alcohol. We always say to people they should refrain from alcohol at least 4 hours before going to bed if they do have sleep apnea or if they do have a central sleep apnea especially.
So I was just going to say that surely people with sleep apnea who might, especially unknowingly, and I would imagine they're at greater risk because they're tired, they don't feel like they've slept well, so they take a sleeping tablet, surely they are at much higher risk.
A sleeping tablet doesn't per se make sleep apnea worse. It just sustains the sleep for a longer period of time. The sleep apnea is still going to happen.
Right. But it doesn't.
It doesn't, unless you're taking something like we just said, like an opioid.
Right.
Which is a high class drug that will cause a dampening of your respiration or suppression of respiration.
Sorry, I
just want
to clarify this for Zanati. When he says high class drug, Zanati, it doesn't mean you need to go out and get it because it's what people in
Not
Sandton.
Not on Black Friday, sir.
Right, exactly. It's not what people in Sandton are using. It's scheduled.
Well, actually, it might be.
Okay. Right. That is a completely different conversation, you know, but Zanati hears that and she thinks, being the queen of the north, you know, maybe she needs to get herself some of those.
I get it. So if you take a sleeping tablet, so it just, you know, sustains the sleep for a longer time, So you can still take a sleeping tablet and still go through these episodes.
Yeah, there are different types of sleeping tablets.
When you wake up, still feel like you have not slept.
100%.
Right, because you're still going to have those episodes.
Oh. Certain sleeping tablets don't suppress your respiration. They don't stop you from breathing. Certain ones do. And the ones that do stop you from breathing, like the ones we call benzodiazepines, like the Dormicums and that type of thing, are very dangerous in people who've got sleep apnea.
And is alcohol dangerous for people with obstructive sleep apnea?
Obstructive and central.
Both.
Yeah, but obviously everything in moderation.
Right. So if somebody is concerned that they might have sleep apnea or their spouse is concerned or their partner's concerned.
So I always say to people there's a few ways to do it. First of all, get your spouse to watch you. And it doesn't mean your spouse must sit there with their eyes wide open and not sleep the whole night and see if you stop breathing whilst you're sleeping. If you do, then you should speak to your physician or speak to your doctor and ask them to send you for a test. And the test we do is called a polysomnogram, which is a sleep study. It's an overnight test. You come into hospital for it. It's much easier to do it in hospital. It's a better environment to do it in. And they attach a number of electrodes to you, and they check what your oxygen levels are, and they check what your heart rate is, and how many times you stop breathing, and what happens if you get restless legs or if you get this event of apnea, which we call where you stop breathing completely.
Studio with me this morning, Dr. Anton Meiberg. He's a physician and pulmonologist in private practice, and we are talking about sleep apnea. So just to recap, if somebody suspects that they or their spouse or partner might have it, you just keep an eye on them during the night to see if they stop breathing for periods of time. You go to see your physician or your doctor, your GP, whomever it would be, and you'd go do an overnight
sleep study.
Right. Let's assume now that they confirm that you're having more than five episodes and you are stopping breathing for that period of time. What are the options for treatment?
First of all, the most important is lifestyle modification. Mm-hmm. Lifestyle modification includes losing weight, alcohol withdrawal, what drugs you're taking, what medications you're taking, to try and see if any of those are contributing to it. The most effective treatment for it is something called CPAP, which is continuous positive airway pressure. It's like having a little ventilator next to your bed. It's a mask that you can get two types. One is a full face mask, which you put over your face. The other one's a nasal mask, which just goes over the nose. Mm-hmm. And it pushes a positive pressure of air into your airways to keep your airways open, so it maintains your airways opening throughout the night.
And does medical aid cover this sort of thing?
Medical aid depends which plan you're on.
Right,
that's
obviously.
The point, yeah. Medical aid does cover most things, but medical aid does cover this.
Right, because it's a very severe disease. Right.
And it's a very life-threatening disease if not treated.
What's interesting to me is that there just doesn't seem to be a lot of dialogue and exposure to this disease, which is actually a potentially very, well, it's not potentially serious. It is serious.
Because people say, well, how am I going to sleep with a mask every night? Why am I going to do that? And I don't want to do that, so I'd rather just not do it.
So it's to just ignore it until it goes away.
Until you have a stroke or you have heart failure, diabetes.
It's really frightening, isn't it?
It's so scary. It is completely scary.
It's quite unbelievable. And are you diagnosing, are you seeing a lot more people? Because I'm suddenly starting to hear of maybe it's also a stage of life where my friends are getting older and getting fatter. but a lot of people are suddenly talking about
this. I find
this.
Anyone who supports Tottenham and United should definitely have sleep studies, because I mean, that's just the most boring soccer game in the world.
Okay, so they stop breathing.
Stop breathing when you watch those
type of games. I hear that.
But
all right.
Yes, we are at a stage where we are diagnosing a lot more sleep apnea, and it's because we're getting better at it, because we're realizing what the risk factors are and who our population groups are who are more prone to develop it,
right,
and we can treat it better.
Right. Is there enough awareness in your view in the medical fraternity?
No, not at all. People need to be aware of it. People need to know that this is a treatable, not curable, but treatable disease, and that if you do treat it, you can prevent long-term complications.
Right. Right. There's a lot of adverts that I've seen around all sorts of mouth guards and things like that, to prevent it or to assist.
So there are other treatments for sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
One of the treatments is surgery, where you can actually have the excess tissue at the back of the throat removed. I don't advocate that. There's about a 20% improvement from that, but I mean, it's not advocated. It's not the best treatment.
Right.
The mouth guards, if you've got very mild sleep apnea, go ahead, try them. It's right. far better than going then onto the mask because you don't need it then. But if you've got moderate or severe sleep apnea, there's no doubt the only treatment of choice is lifestyle modification with a CPAP machine.
All right, and there you have it, Dr. Anton Marburg joining us in a studio to talk about this very, very serious illness or condition called sleep apnea. And I would think that if you are concerned about it, please go ahead, speak to your doctor and just get some advice. Dr. Anton Marburg, thank you as always. Wrapping up Louis Kompas's sports question, because that's what we do. Who was the first Swede to win Wimbledon? All right, Zanati, any ideas?
No,
you're going to say
you're going to say
that Celsius guy. What was his name? Anders Celsius. Dr. Marburg.
I think Bjorn Borg.
Well, let's see what other people say. David Zimmerman says Bjorn Borg. Michael Cohen says Steven Etberg. Madeleine says Bjorn Borg. Colin S. says Bjorn Borg. And Louis Kompas says Bjorn Borg. So that is indeed the correct answer. Well done to everybody who got it right.